Once again, I really want to encourage you to get in line with what the Lord is doing. The kingdom of God is a place of movement. It's a place of action. And we get to be involved with what God is doing on the earth. And it's great and it's wonderful. And it fills your heart with great joy. It gives you peace. It gives you faith. It does so much when you get involved with what God is doing. So praise the Lord. Be involved with getting Give and Go. Sign up for a trip in the coming year. Get involved. I spoke to someone today who said, I just started serving. And she said, it's been transformative. That's a direct quote. It's been transformative. And so get connected to the kingdom of God. Amen? All right. So now, this is our last week in the Fasting for Breakthrough series. Next Sunday, I probably will have banana cream pie for breakfast. Right? Hallelujah. We got one more week. And I've been describing fasting sort of like a tunnel that we are walking in with God. There's a special kind of closeness because we've shut some things out. And today we're going to look at, for our last week, we've looked at fasting for revelation. We've looked at fasting for favor and in the devotional book, Esther fasted for deliverance and breakthrough and favor, all wrapped up together. But what we're going to do today is we're going to look at what Jesus said about fasting, because what Jesus said about fasting is meant to carry us throughout the entire year. And I want to begin this time by suggesting that fasting is something that is profoundly spiritual. It has nothing to do with willpower. It's spiritual. Fasting is different from resolutions. In fact, do you know, here's some facts. Ohio State University gives us some facts about New Year's resolutions. 23% of people quit in the first week. 64% by the end of January, 80% sometime in February. Only 9% succeed with those. And the second Friday of January is called Quitter's Day. But how many know we're not quitting this year? How many would say amen? We are not quitting in 2026. But the question is, what is it that we're not quitting? Right? We're not quitting our closeness to God. Because that's what fasting is all about, closeness. That's why we fast. We fast because we want to be close to God. And you know what? People have been coming out on Tuesdays. This coming Tuesday, this is going to be a key to 2026. I'm going to be speaking about the key or one of the keys to overcoming discouragement. And a lot of people don't realize that when you really get on track, then the enemy kicks into a mode of discouragement. If you look in the scriptures at how much the Bible talks about encouragement and discouragement, it's because when the enemy can discourage you, he can derail you. And so I want you to come out. We're going to pray together because we are not quitting our closeness in 2026. How many would say amen? We're going to walk with the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. And we're going to see the Lord get the glory from our lives. And so we're turning today to Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to the Sermon on the Mount. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives us some of the most basic, fundamental things that we need to know about serving God. And so this is kind of the basics. So I want to point some things out to you here. So when it comes to the basics and when it comes to fasting, I want you to understand something. It's not really if, but when. It's all about when. And there's three things that Jesus says. Go home and read this whole passage. But in verse 2, Jesus says, so when you give, we just gave. In verse 5, he says, so when you pray, we just prayed. But in verse 16, he says, when you fast. When you fast, now I'm going to read this section of it. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But everyone, let's say these four words, but when you fast, but when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father, I love this line, has been such a special line in the Bible for me. I love this line, and I pray that you would learn to love this line, because this line speaks to how special our closeness to God is. It says, your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. He will reward you. Not by what we show people, but what we do in secret between us and God. How many want a secret kind of special closeness with Jesus in 2026? Hallelujah. So notice the Bible says when you fast, right? So when you give, when you pray, when you fast means that this should be a normal practice of your life. And we're going to talk about that today. It's not like just part of the first of the year. It should be part of all of the year. This is one of the tools that God gives us. This is a normal part of the life of the disciple. And so the title today is Fasting for Consistency. Fasting for consistency. Now, what do we mean by fasting for consistency? We're saying that we're going to be using this tool that God has given to us so that we could stay close to God. We don't want to lose that closeness. Amen? Now, I want to do something. I want to talk about the text for a moment before we get to these quick application points. So notice that Jesus says, when you fast, don't tell the whole world. Don't you know, put a display on. Just do this between you and God. And it's basically saying this, fasting is not for show. Fasting is for closeness. And here's the way I want to describe it to you. So have you ever been at the airport, or maybe you're kind of in a bit of a crowded place, and you see someone with those giant headphones on, right? You know what I'm talking about, right? They've got these big things on their head. If you're at the airport and someone has these big things on their head, you know what they're saying, right? They're saying, don't bother me. They're saying, I don't really want to talk to you, right? They're saying, I've got something else going on here. Please do not disturb, right? And you know that if you want to talk to them, your temptation is you got to tap them on the shoulder to get their attention. So fasting is not like that. Fasting is a lot more like this. See, you could have these little earbuds in, right? And someone has to really look to see if you've got those earbuds in, And what's interesting about these earbuds, I had these for like 5 years, and then my wife told me one day that these earbuds, they have this special thing called noise cancellation. So don't laugh at me because I didn't know that. So, but here's what happens. You can go on and click this thing, which I do now, especially on the plane, right? And you could hit noise cancellation, and you can shut out the noise. And so fasting, the way Jesus was talking about it, was that as the year unfolds, based on whatever frequency the Holy Spirit leads you, it could be just one meal that you say, I'm going to close out the noise today. And I'm going to keep my closeness to God. I'm going to secure what God has given me. You see, I'm not going to give up what I gained. Could you put that slide up for me? In Philippians, do we have that? Listen, in Philippians 3:16, it says, only let us live up to what we've already attained. So through these 3 weeks, there's a closeness that you've attained. Anybody here attained some closeness in the last couple weeks? Amen. So there's a closeness that you attain, and I'm telling you right now, do not lose that closeness to Jesus. Say, I will not give up my closeness to Christ. I will fight for it. I will struggle for it. No matter what happens, I want to stay close to Jesus. How many would say amen? We're going to have a year of closeness to Christ. And so what fasting does is fasting is one of the ways that we're like, oh, I feel like I need some closeness, so I'm not gonna eat today, or I'm not gonna eat this meal, or you know what? I'm gonna go 2 days and I'm not gonna do social media. Why? Because even though we're walking on this earth, even though we're made of flesh and blood, and we need to eat, and we have all of these necessities. We know that we belong to a greater kingdom. We know that we serve, we have access to the Lord of glory, to the King of kings, hallelujah. The Lord is our helper. The Lord is our healer. The Lord is our strength. And we're not going to forget that. And we're not going to live like he's not real. We're going to draw close to him. And we know that when we draw close to him, he draws near to us. And so I want to talk today about staying close to the Lord in 2026. Because we know that if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, we know that all things will be added. So let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that regardless of where we are in our nearness to you, some are so new in their faith. Some of us have served you for a while now. But Lord, we can always get closer. And I pray, Lord, for this body. I pray, Lord, for people who are watching online today. Lord, there's nothing better than knowing you. And there's nothing more important than being used by you. The purpose of man is to give God glory and to enjoy his presence. That's what we want out of 2026. And so, God, would you bless us? Would you impart a grace right now that translates into a conviction that says, whenever the closeness is slipping, help us to slip away and to get close to you. May this be a year of closeness for this body. May our church walk close to you, Lord. And may we bring you glory, Lord. We can't do it. There's no resolution that can make those. There's no willpower. But Lord, all things are possible with you. So you can make marriages better. You can make our light shine brighter. You can give us more love. You can give us more strength. You can put a new and greater anointing upon our lives so that we could be your witnesses, God. So bless this word. Bless our year. Lord, bless our tunnel, our walking in this fasting tunnel with you. We love you and we praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Come on, let's bless him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so the breakthrough that we have been experiencing during these 3 weeks becomes our baseline. We want to keep what God has done, and we do it in a fairly kind of regular way. You know, the great John Wesley, he used to fast every Thursday sundown to Friday 3 p.m. So one of the things I want to say up front is, even though we're talking about fasting for consistency, is there is no rule coming from this moment. This is all about Spirit-led activity that we use the tools. When you give, when you pray, when you fast, we use the practices that the Lord gave us as the most basic and fundamental to being strong and close to God. And look at what Wesley said. Wesley said, people swing to two errors. Over-exalting fasting or disregarding fasting as not at all, right? Fasting is not all, nor yet is it nothing. Fasting is a precious means that God has ordained. And so it's interesting how, look, if you start to get overwhelmed, shut it down for a couple of hours. Even a couple of hours. Have you ever noticed that if you just shut it down for a couple of hours, just have a little talk with Jesus? You know? It's like put your phone in the other room, in a closet, like in a box, in a closet, under 7 pillows. And see what happens. See the Spirit of the living God draw near to you. See, we are the kind of people, you should have the expectation that when you're home alone with God, you in the secret place, and you begin to seek God, not every single time, but many times, the abiding presence of God falls. And you're like, God is here with me. Surely, the presence of the Lord is in this place. That's what's available to every child of God. Aren't you thankful that he is available to us? Hallelujah. Okay, so I want to say two very, I think they're obvious but very important things. First of all, fasting builds our faith. Fasting builds our faith. Why? It's because closeness to Christ is what develops our faith. Jesus said at a certain point, some of these, they're like, Lord, there was a moment when the disciples couldn't heal someone, and they said, Lord, how come we couldn't heal this person? And you know what he said? He said, some things only come out by what? prayer and fasting. So what fasting does is fasting builds your faith. Why? Faith. Why? It's because the closer you are to Christ, the more you believe in him. It's that it doesn't, fasting doesn't earn God's love. It trains our hearts to receive God's strength. So you want to train your heart this year to receive the strength of God. How? Just by shutting it down and drawing close to God. See, I feel like fasting really teaches us how to play, how to pray. It kind of turns down the volume of what we're hearing so that we could hear God. So that we could be praying in America and preparing to go on a trip in Uganda, and God says, I have a good work for you to do in advance. You're going to run into a woman, and when you meet that woman, I want you to pray in faith, because regardless of what she's going through, I have enough power to meet her need. Hallelujah. But that takes a strong faith. Fasting creates a closeness, and that closeness, it releases great faith. Listen to what Dallas Willard said about this. Fasting is the affirmation and experience of another world. That's why I like to say that fasting is feasting. Fasting aligns us with the movements of God's kingdom, and in this way, it increases the power of what we do. It does not earn anything or corner God and force his hand. Fasting, what it does, it makes hard things easier to get a hold of. Why? Because you're closer to God. And so what fasting does, it really builds our faith. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, here it is, everyone, but the righteous one will, everyone, live by faith. 2026, we want to live by faith. What does it take to live by faith? We get close to God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. Jesus is the word. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. When we get alone and fill ourselves with the word, when we close it off, when we shut it down and get filled with the word, then all of a sudden, faith starts to rise in our hearts. This is a year you're going to pray for people. You're going to see the manifest power of God through your life. How many want to have that kind of year? It's all about closeness. It's all about closeness. You know, it just popped into my head. I didn't have it in my notes. But there is somebody quoted something about the burning bush. I'm going to just give you the butchered version of it. But someone once said, there are burning bushes everywhere. And those of us who notice it will take off our sandals. But everyone else just goes around eating blueberries. You know? And I'm telling you right now, if you're watching online, I'm telling you right now, don't miss the burning bush this year. Don't miss what God wants to make available to you. God is bigger than you. He's bigger than your weakness. He's bigger than your failings. He's bigger than your... The Bible says, even if your heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts. There's no excuse, there's no reason, there's no circumstance that you can't have your burning bush meeting with God. You say, well, you don't know how messed up I am. Even when we're messed up, the blood of Jesus is able to cleanse us. He came to meet with us. And I want to pray today, I don't want to miss my burning bush this year. I don't want to say it's for somebody else. No, it's for me. Closeness is for me. Somebody say closeness is for me. Yes, it is. And here's the last thing I'll say about how it builds faith. You see, the Bible says, you have not because you ask not. And you know why we don't ask sometimes? Sometimes we don't ask because we don't have the faith for it. Fasting will help your asking. Fasting helps you to pull the hammer out and to break down the wall of asking. It helps you, like, I'm afraid, I don't know, like, God, why will God do this? As you get close to God, you start to shatter those deep reasons. We all have deep reasons why God shouldn't answer. But I'm telling you right now, when you get close to God, you start to believe and understand why He wants to answer, why He wants to move in our lives. How many know God wants to move in our lives in 2026? Hallelujah. But you have to believe. You have to believe. And so we want to get close to God so that we could really, really believe. Secondly, so fasting creates faith. And then here's the key, right? Faith is what creates consistency. Everybody say consistency. God, you know, when I dream about your lives, when I pray for your lives, they could send me a keyboard player. And it's such an enormous responsibility to be a pastor. I'm not making this moment about me. I don't mean it to do that at all. But this is a serious business. This is a sacred business. And the most important thing about your life is your faith. I'm always praying for faith. You see, because the situations and the circumstances of your life, they're so different. Everything is so different. You know, the Bible says each heart knows its own bitterness and no one can share its joy. Only you know what you're going through. Only you know what you're struggling with, what's bothering you, what burden you're carrying, right? But if you walk by faith, the Lord will help you. If you walk by faith, faith the size of a mustard seed will cast a mountain into the sea. I'm telling you right now, God wants to cast that mountain into the sea. He wants to tear it down. He wants to rebuild the relationship. He wants to rebuild and restore your joy and your salvation. He wants you to trade your sorrows for the joy of the Lord. Only though, by faith. And so I've come to see fasting. I've come to see fasting not just saying no to the flesh, because, and that is a big part of it, but I've come to see fasting more as a making room to really connect with God. And anytime you make room to really connect with God, it does something amazing to you. So here's what strong faith does. Strong faith will do two things for you. Number one, it will give you conviction to stand. It will give you conviction to stand. We're living in a day where people need to stand. Okay, here's what I'm trying to say. Believe it or not, in the big scheme of things, there's things you and I want, there's things you and I need, there's things you and I are struggling with. But in the big scheme of things, it is more important to stand for God than to get what you want. In the big scheme of things, it is more important for you and I to stand for God than to experience certain joys or pleasures or whatever it might be. If you're thinking about the eternal kingdom, if you're thinking about the kingdom of God, if you're living for the day that you face Jesus, how many are looking for the day when we see him face to face? If you're living for, well done, my good and faithful servant, then I'm telling you right now, standing for God is 10 times more important than getting our way. But only closeness does that. Only closeness. You know? The second thing that it does, it gives you the energy to keep running. You know, I've given the illustration a number of times, but there's so many new people here. Act like you heard it, but never heard it before. But you know, my oldest daughter, Susan, she really loves the Lord. I mean, like, she really, really loves the Lord. And I always marvel when I talk to her. And but I remember we sent her on this missions trip. She's like 12 years old, was she? 13? 13 or 14? And she'd been gone, and she went someplace in Africa, and she had eaten chicken feet. She had eaten every kind of thing she never ate before. And you know, it's when someone's gone that long and they come home, you're in like parade mode, right? You're like the banner, and yay, and we had all of her treats and sweets, and we're waiting. And she came in, she's like, "Hi, Dad," and we hugged. But she was like so, I was completely shocked by it. You know? And it made me jealous, because we're in the car and we're like, "We got you this, and we got you your favorite treats," like, you know, like whatever I'm looking forward to, like next Sunday morning, you know what I mean? Like, "We got this, we got that." And she was just sitting there, okay? And she's looking out the window, and they're like, "Can I have some?" Her little brother and sister, she's like, "Just take it, take it." I was like, "No, that's for Susie." She goes, "No, Dad, let them have it." She's just looking out the window. I could tell. She had her eyes and her thoughts on the kingdom of God. You know, and like, think about the week that you and I have had, and all the busyness and all the things. And you're like, "You know, I just, this church thing is new," or, you know, if we just take the time to get close to him, he's going to open our eyes and we're going to see another world and another life. He's going to show us something better. He's going to give us something richer, something deeper. How many know he's got something better for us? He's got something richer for us. And so when that happens, all of a sudden, you just keep walking. Things go wrong, but you just keep walking. Look at what the Bible says here. You just keep walking. I'm telling you right now, God can make you consistent. God can make us strong. God can keep our steps where we don't get tossed to and fro by the cares and the snares and the attacks, and they will come. Attacks will come and storms will come, but there is a way to keep walking. We can keep walking. When we're close to Him, we can keep walking. God wants us to keep walking strong and in faith. Look at what the Bible says. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope, three words, everyone, until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Hallelujah. How many want to inherit the promises in 2026? We want to receive the reward in 2026. Hallelujah. We want to receive the reward, but you know how it happens. It happens through consistency. You know, I heard of a young man said that he was in the ministry, he had this discouragement response plan, okay? And this is spilling over into coming Tuesday, but he said whenever he gets discouraged, whenever discouragement hits, most people do two things. They withdraw or they medicate. They start to scroll, they start to snack, they start to look, all of these things. You know, shop. But he said, when discouragement hits, I fast one comfort. Food, media, spending, just for 24 hours. And it's like just by shutting that down, it's like I regain my closeness. And then it's not so discouraging. You know, we're talking about give and go. And I'll close with this. You know, one of the most famous give and go movements in church history is actually the Moravian movement. In 1727, the Moravians began a 24/7 prayer meeting that continued for 100 years. Is it possible that we could raise up a church that if the Lord tarries, it doesn't matter when we're long gone, that this would be a house that the people keep on praying, that the people keep on seeking, that the people keep on giving, that the people keep on going. Hallelujah. Is it possible that we could do our part right now so that something lasting way beyond us would take place? How many want to be part of something eternal, something long-lasting like that? So listen, this small group of people started to send out missionaries. And from this small group of people just like us, this kind of give and go movement, it became one of the most impactful missionary movements in church history. Just because they would fast and pray. And what they would do is on their own, they would fast on a weekly basis, and then every 3 months they would fast collectively somehow, just because they wanted to stay close. So look, one meal, one day, sunrise to sunset, there's non-food fast, one social media, one entertainment, one shopping, whatever it is. Just skipping something to say. And let me tell you, last thing. So when you grow up in the world and then you get saved, there's certain things that happen to you. I remember this. But then after a while, you're serving the Lord so long that there's certain things you're not as aware. So I remember when I first got saved and I was coming out of the world. I mean, I was full blown in the world. I'm coming out of the world. And so feeling God say, it was almost like the Lord would say, psst, psst, pull away from that. Just pull away from that. Just come be with me. For what? For what? Just no. Just come be with me. You know, you don't need that. You need me. How many want to hear the psst from the Holy Spirit this year? Come on, how many would say amen? Call me, Lord. We're fasting for closeness.